know, I have 100 people who work for me who do this for a living, and that is what they have said. This is how much it will cost to build this building. This is how much it'll cost to build this building.
In part because you're designing this building
to be
so there's no HVAC
expanded.
Systems on the roof.
No, we deliberately have designed this so that the HVAC system is on the ground so that we can build it. As Mike mentioned to you in the meeting that we had last week, this building will not be your typical one-story building. It will be built with the idea that a second floor will be added on.
I don't understand why it wouldn't cost anything extra to take off the roof and put it and do it in two phases.
That is included in that cost of $6.5 million.
I mean, obviously not asking my question correctly. I do have another question, though.
The answer is it's an insignificant cost.
Okay.
It is absolutely insignificant.
As long as
it's built that way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's built that way.
Okay. So my next concern is that we didn't get the $2 million in last year's federal appropriation, and it would be nice to get the full cost of both stories in the next appropriations, and I'm wondering how we're going to be working on that.
Our best opportunity is the federal stimulus, where they've actually set aside there's a bucket of money for exactly these kinds of operational centers, and it's competitive. And the initial word is the more local money you have in your application, in which case ours is pretty significant, the more competitive you are. So that's on the short term. On the longer term, we'll be looking for the usual places of earmarks.
So we'll be asking for the full 22 or 25 million, or in combination with our local set aside?
For stimulus, yes.
Yes.
The difference, the delta.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, any other conversation with our staff? All right, thank you, gentlemen. Anyone in the room that wishes to testify on this? Oh, this is a second reading, but is there anyone that wishes to testify since we've had some more conversation? I don't see anybody. All right. So, Carla, unless there's additional council discussion, could you please call the roll for council calendar item 195?
Fritz?
Thank you again for your ongoing work in helping me get this. Aye.
Fish?
This seems to me to be a win-win. The city is going to get an emergency coordination center, and thanks to the creativity of Paul and David and Commissioner Leonard, we're going to be able to soften the impact of this downturn by using in-house people who with tremendous skill and capacity to help us do the work. And I really appreciate the ingenuity, and frankly, you know, it's times like this that the rest of us sort of watch and listen and perhaps even borrow some of these ideas as we are trying to figure out how to deal with the same challenges in our bureau. So thanks to both of you, as always, and Commissioner Leonard. I think this is a very creative solution, and I would perhaps be willing to throw in some additional consideration if we could pry loose either one of these gentlemen. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard and Paul and David, for your response to the questions we had last week, and I'm fully satisfied and comfortable. Aye.
Thank you.
Leonard?
I just want to again point out the great work of David and Paul in putting this together. Honestly, without you two guys working on it, the project wouldn't be going forward. I mean, you've thought very creatively, and I really appreciate it. Aye.
Adams.
Well, we have an amazing talent pool in the Bureau of Development Services, and this helps us preserve that in the face of an incredibly unique set of difficult economic circumstances. So I want to laud you, Commissioner Leonard and Ty and David and Paul, for your creativity on this score and for moving forward this project and being creative about how to finance it. We desperately need the building. So thank you. Aye.
You're welcome.
195 is approved. That Carla, could you please read the title for council calendar item 196?
Mm-hmm. Designate and assign certain property within the Governor Tom McCall Waterfront Park for ongoing management by the Water Bureau, and certain property at Mount Tabor for ongoing management by the Bureau of Parks and Recreation.
Commissioner Leonard.
So you've had your peas all morning. This is your dessert. This is a strictly speaking, a resolution based on a conversation I had some time back at Commissioner Fish's suggestion to literally transfer a piece of property known as McCall's Restaurant on the waterfront to the Portland Water Bureau in exchange for transferring properties that are located at the Mount Tabor Maintenance Yard to the Parks Bureau. Given the discussion we just had prior to this of the creativity, I just want to acknowledge Commissioner Fish's creativity, because it was not something that occurred to me to suggest as a way of having the transfer, which has the ultimate goal of, frankly, saving the Rose Festival for Portland. There exists this building on the waterfront, as we will hear more about later, that was originally designed by John Neon, that has, for without pointing fingers, just allowed to deteriorate over the decades. And so we have the opportunity to do two really cool things for the community. One, get the building back in as much as possible its original condition, and two, have the keepers of the soul of the city that is being vigilantly watched over right now by Jeff Curtis of the Rose Festival Association in the building, and having the building be the icon that it originally was designed to be, but will be, I think, viewed when this work is done, that Tom is going to discuss a little bit, Tom Klutz a little bit, and others will really be a treasure that Portlanders will then recognize as significant as they have come to embrace the Made in Oregon sign. That is absolutely my goal, and we'll talk more about that later. But Tom Klutz is our property manager at the Water Bureau, does an outstanding job. He will be integral in the development of the exterior of the building at the suggestion of one of the folks who are going to testify here. We've already entered in discussions hiring a landscape architect that has worked closely with Parks over the years to help us design what we consider to be a world-class rose garden that will surround the property. And we want to do it in the most thoughtful and sensitive way possible. So as we move forward, every step we take will be done with the thought of having no further harm occur to the building, and in fact reversing some of what was happened to restore it to its original state. Tom?
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. My name is Tom Klutz. I'm the property manager for the Water Bureau. And I want to thank both all the commissioners today and Mayor Adams for letting us go forward on a project that's about to happen. Like Commissioner Leonard said, both Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Leonard kind of put their heads together and came up with a unique opportunity for us to engage on making truly a beautiful piece of property on our waterfront, something that can be cherished and behold for the ages and continue through. The Portland Water Bureau has had the benefit of working with the Parks Bureau to complete this waterfront project and exchange for Mount Tabor property in both its management duties and its physical place to be. By utilizing the building and working with the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, the city will establish a consistent presence that will not only enhance the energy and safety of the Tom McCall Waterfront Park, but will restore this structure to its proper and needed use. You'll see some slides here in just a little bit that will show kind of the differences, the before and afters, and some things that we're looking at, and that will really give you an idea of where we want to be. The city benefits by supporting this storied Portland institution in the Rose Festival. We anticipate that the full transfer of the Portland Rose Festival personnel will take place sometime in mid to late summer. Exterior and interior improvements will begin as needed. And it's no secret, giving its name and the idea of putting a rose on top of the building and some things that you'll see, that part of our plan will involve roses, lots and lots of roses. So I think John Young will be proud of what we end up accomplishing in making this truly a designated spot where people can look at it and say, wow, that really is an improvement of what we want to do. So with that, I'll turn over to Steve Planchon with Parks.
I'm Steve Planchon, property manager at Parks, and have very little to say other than it's been a very good experience working with Water Bureau on this. Enjoyed it immensely. We look forward to having the decks cleared up at Mount Tabor, and we appreciate that. Helps us with the redevelopment project, and I look forward to the presentation.
So, Ty, when were you going to do that?
At your
pleasure. You want to do it now? We might as well just...
Oh, you can.
So we have just a short, it's really Randy Gregg provided me some historical pictures along with Thomas Lauderdale, who will be up here in a moment. And for a person who loves Portland history, I mean, I was like a kid in a candy store looking at the stuff they brought in. And we want to give you an idea of where we want to get the building back to.
So Thomas Lauderdale has also put together a presentation on this, which will probably go a lot more in-depth into the history. But just to help give people context of the building, it's something that I think time has lost in a lot of ways. So you're looking at the front facade of the building, and there's a lot of changes that have occurred over many generations of different tenants and whatnot, and you see there's a little water fountain that looks strikingly like a Benson bubbler right in the front. This is looking north at the south facade, which used to have street frontage and had an entryway on it, and we'll show you the what has been done with that since that time. This is from the rear looking that must be southwest. Another view. If you look to the right, you'll see the reflecting pool that was there with a little fountain just on the edge. This is the interior. Today it has a drop ceiling on the interior, so you can't see the original woodwork that was up there. Another view of the interior with the light coming in and the really clean lines. And this is what it looks like today. You'll see on the roof that over the years, you know, tenants like restaurants and others have installed HVAC equipment, and right behind the tree to the right, there's a large vent that you can see better from this view. This is the view looking north of the south facade of the building, which is dramatically different from its original view. This is where those doors were that you looked at before that are in a condition of disrepair. There's some areas where it looks like graffiti has been repaired. Another thing to note right here, because this is a good view of it up close, is we'll see another picture of the original again, but there's a line that goes right up the middle of where the panels are. And in the original, you didn't see any lines. It was a very clean, consistent piece all the way through. Again, the red overhang that currently sits over the doorway was not part of the original design. This is the rear of the building. The blue area that's a different color in the corner there is suffering from a lot of dry rot. And one thing we'll look at in a minute is the windows in many areas around the building have been inverted, and we'll have to look at sort of the history of why that is. It might have been some practical reasons for tenants who have been there before, but if you look from the right to left, there's a line of clear windows that go right over the top of where the dry rot area is, and those used to extend all the way across to the entryway that exists right on that side. There's the two Randys looking at the dry rot. This is just some of the landscaping. This is where our idea is that we would have a some sort of striking rose-centric landscape design that would be something that might even be destination in and of itself.
Rose-centric?
Exactly. You like that?
I love that.
I have an expansive vocabulary. If you guys would let me testify more, you would learn that.
That may be how you talk in Commissioner Leonard's office, but we would like plain English used in this body.
That's right. Plain-centric language, please.
Don't need high.
And interestingly, in the original design, you'll see in another picture, there was very little in the way of landscaping. It was part of the clean line design that I think was the deal. This is just to show that lights have been affixed to this area that were not originally there. It was also designed to be really clean, and there's a number of different kinds of lights, in fact, on it. And just to your right in this picture, this is a similar view of the old picture. You can see where the reflecting pool was, and another view of it right there. You see the fountain and the reflecting pool. And today we have a plywood over where the fountain was, and then there have been attempts to improve the deal over time. But we'd like to have the Water Bureau develop a water feature that would go in there that would come at the guidance of the designer that we've brought on board for this. There's another view of that area. Think of what it could be. Another view looking south. And so there's the original. And again, if you notice from what we've seen, the very clean look of the panels that go up and down the...
Ty, on that slide, is that the... So that's the original color, that sort of...
Yes. That's another key element of this, is we intend to restore it to its original color. And if you look, you can see here the windows going all the way across to the rear entry. And the panels that are on the bottom came all the way up, and now they're sort of a mishmash of windows. This was a source of debate for a while in our office when we were looking at the picture about whether we were looking at the same thing. And if you look at it, you can see that it's the same view of the south facade of the building, and it used to be an entry at some point. Also note that the windows are inverted compared to their original design. Windows are on the bottom now, and they used to be on the top. There's a closer view. There's some cool cars in that picture as well. And then this is the theoretical image that Commissioner Leonard asked the Water Bureau graphics designer to put together. He had an idea in his mind, and this is sort of a rendering of that, so it's easier to describe to others. Certainly there is it's a concept, but that would be the idea. And the idea is that you'd have a very elegant, simple rose neon light that would be visible from across the river, that would have kind of have its own iconic sense as well as the iconic nature of the building that we hope to bring back. And that's all I got.
Great pictures.
So do you have the pictures that Eddie brought in?
I didn't bring those in because they weren't loaded on the right computer, but I can bring them back in, and it would just take
a minute. Wait for a while. Great. Thank you. Thank you all.
Do you have more presentation?
I don't.
Okay.
I have some questions, but I can wait till testimony.
Either way, yeah.
Shall we run through testimony since we've made him wait a while? And so we'll have you back, I promise.
Sure.
Carla, do you have a sign-up sheet?
I do. We have four people signed up. The first three are Nate Overmeyer, Thomas M. Lauderdale, and Richard Lewis Brown. Do you want one more? Oh, yeah. You can get another chair.
Good morning. My name is Thomas Lauderdale. I'm a member of the Friends of John Yon's Portland, Oregon Visitors Association building. Thank you for taking our testimony. We're here to advocate for a long-neglected architectural jewel, the Portland Visitors Information Center, also known as McCall's Restaurant, designed in 1948 by the great Portland architect John Yon. As several of you know, yesterday we made the rounds in this building exploring what the best options are for the building as you consider transferring its management from Parks to the Water Bureau and consider leasing it to the Rose Festival. In the end, we concluded that the path Commissioner Leonard is offering is the very best opportunity to turn the building's history of neglect around and to begin moving towards proper stewardship. And to that end, Nate Obermeyer will be talking a little bit about our own financial commitment to this project as private citizens. We also see the Rose Festival as the same kind of quasi-civic organization, similar to the Chamber of Commerce, who first commissioned the building back in 1948. We believe that Commissioner Leonard and the Rose Festival see the same point on the horizon as we do, and we look forward to working with them to find the best, most fiscally and historically responsible path here. It's easy to think of this humble little structure as just a colorful little shack that would benefit from having any breathing tenant at all. But there is an opportunity here not just to bring the Rose Festival to the building on the waterfront park, but to honor Portland's architectural legacy. And to that end, Randy Gregg would like to explain the history of the building and the man who designed it, John Yon.
Thanks. I wanted to run you just through a little history on John Yon, because I think it's pertinent to this, and kind of see the real depth of his work in Portland, which I don't think many people know about. That's the man standing next to one of his masterpieces, the Watzek House, which he designed in 1936 at the age of 26. His legacy of his 20s is really quite amazing. This is probably the most internationally published house that's ever been built in Portland. It's up on Skyline Drive. Was exhibited at the Museum of Modern Art a couple of times next to masterpieces like Frank Lloyd Wright's Falling Water, an amazing piece of work. As you can see, the pools are sort of a theme, leitmotif in John's work. He also designed for inexpensive houses. This is some of the first plywood houses in the country using a new technology of plywood in the early 40s. But his legacy extends way beyond that. John, at age 21, bought Chapman Point and saved it from becoming a dance hall on top of it, and thereby preserving the most photographed vista on the Oregon coast. He also intervened at the time. Highway engineers like to blast and build roads in straight lines. He intervened on several occasions, once in Neocony Highway to bring some curves in the craftsmanship that his father brought to the Columbia Gorge Highway to Neocony. He also intervened in the second generation of highways in the Columbia Gorge to bring curves to those, because the engineers were intent on building that highway as straight as possible. He also played a role in Waterfront Park. The PDC, as it was building Waterfront Park, was planning to basically build it as a series of horseshoe pits and barbecue stands, in the will of the public at that time. And John intervened and made a very eloquent argument for a linear, formal park against the sort of chaos of the background of the city, which I think we can really thank him for. He also was a very, very early historic preservationist. The first National Bank building was destined to become a parking lot. He intervened with the architecture critic Ada Louise Huxtable and saved that building. And in the 60s, he also purchased a lineal mile of Columbia Gorge, basically the coast, the northern edge of the river, directly across from Multnomah Falls, and did what basically is a kind of picturesque landscape that is now as is the Watzek House, in the stewardship of the University of Oregon. And I sit on that advisory board for those two properties. There's some other views of it. Now, Ty did a great job of running you through what the building looked like. It was designed in 1947, built in 48 for the Chamber of Commerce. And it was also exhibited immediately, along with Pietro Belluschi's Equitable Building, in the built-in USA show at Museum of Modern Art, with a range of masterpieces by everybody from Mies van der Rohe to Frank Lloyd Wright. So this building was really in the architectural conversation as America, you know, sort of started flexing its muscles in the art world and architecture world. There's some great pictures with the cars of the time. You can see kind of how far ahead it was for its time. It was basically designed for a situation that was very different with Harbor Drive there. John very much designed it to be a kind of refuge, a kind of peaceful place to be in the, you know, in the immediacy of Harbor Drive. But he also, it's really the first structure to on the river to really address the river. And, you know, really sort of foresaw the possibility of a future, you know, waterfront park. But it's also carefully designed. The windows were placed to basically keep views of, you know, ugly structures like the Journal Building at that time kind of out of your mind. And, the, you know, the speed of the adjacent highway, you know, to basically make you less aware of that. So it was really designed to be a peaceful place. Obviously very elegant, as Ty showed you. It's in, you know, tremendous layer upon layer. The PDC first took it over. The Chamber of Commerce more or less kind of abandoned it. The city took it over. Parks had offices in there for a while. PDC took it over and then, you know, brought a restaurant in. And the first remodel was actually fairly careful. It was done by William Hawkins, but subsequent remodels have been done really willy-nilly on it and all kinds of things. What we're hoping is that it, I mean, we have great confidence that that Commissioner Leonard and the Water Bureau and the Rose Festival can bring it back to its former splendor. We have done a lot of research. We have original construction drawings. We have original analysis of the paint. And we have a lot to bring to the table, as you'll see in the subsequent presentations.
I'm Richard Lewis Brown. I was a close associate of John Yon for 27 years before his death 15 years ago. And I've lived, Randy showed you a picture of the Watzek House. I've lived there for the past 36 years. And I, a few years ago, gave it to the University of Oregon. And when I leave it, it will be the John Yon Center for Architectural Studies. I want to address an idea that's been repeated quite a bit, that John Yon advocated removing the building. And I want to make clear that that was not because he wasn't proud of the design, but precisely because he was proud of it. He was 35 when it was built, and at the end of his life, it was very painful to him to see the neglect and indignities it had suffered. He preferred to see open park rather than the sorry remains of a once admired building. He predicted that it would be allowed to deteriorate further, and about that, as usual, he was right. Like the man himself, the building was highly original, yet expressive of its own time. It was intellectually rigorous, yet elegant. It was unpretentious, yet beautifully proportioned. It turned modest materials into a work of international distinction. I believe a great city recognizes its masterworks and restores and honors them. If we're going to leave the Visitors Information Center there, we really must treat it with care and with respect for its original design. So I am pleased and hopeful that we are now that we now have a new opportunity to get it right. Thank you.
And excuse me. My name is Nate Overmeyer, and we are aware that our enthusiasm here could possibly be misconstrued as preservationist finger wagging, and as such reproachful. On the contrary, we're, I think, very encouraged by the identification of a solution for the building and committed to doing what we can to enable the realization of that proposal using best practices. To that end, we're offering at this point to pay up to $15,000 of privately raised funds for design and research services by an expert preservation architect to guide any changes to the exterior and interior in preparation for the Rose Festival's occupancy. That way the city can spend its limited improvement funds wisely, finding the best middle ground between a new tenant's needs and the building's long-term restoration.
It's clear that for far too long, the neglect that has befallen this building is due to every proposal that's come forward not being non-viable due to lack of partnerships. And we're very, very excited about the opportunity to achieve a kind of synergy between Commissioner Leonard's can-do spirit, the Rose Festival's need for space and a downtown presence, and our goal to give this great building and its architect's legacy some much-deserved respect and care. Thank you.
Well, your testimony was fantastic. Any questions from council or comments?
We have one more person. Jeff Curtis would like to say a few words.
Sorry.
Before you leave, I didn't know of you until you signed up today, so I was going to make these remarks later to these three gentlemen, but particularly with your strong personal connection with John Young, I want to tell you something. And it is that aside from the advocacy that has happened, were I never to have heard from Thomas Lauderdale or Randy Gregg on this project, nor would they have made the suggestions they have, I think in a way that believes in historical renovations. As an example, to give you some, to establish a little street cred for myself, at least two of my colleagues are aware of this. The others have arrived since last year's budget. But when I got to Water Bureau 3.5 years ago and I did a tour of the Bull Run, I was the thing that stood out to me, aside from the beauty of the Bull Run, was three historic cabins that were built at Bull Run Lake by the workers who originally worked at Bull Run, had been allowed to deteriorate to the point that the roofs on one had collapsed, the porch on another had a tree fall through it and ruin it. The house known as Bear Creek House was designed and built for the chief engineer in the 20s that built dam number one. And I don't know if you've been to Bull Run and have seen the house I'm describing to you, but it was designed as a very classic mid-20s architecturally house. When I toured it, the chimney had collapsed. It was used as storage for any one of a number of Water Bureau appendages, shovels, rakes, had mice in it. I singularly advocated in the budget against the recommendations of the Citizen Budget Committee and, frankly, against some strong skepticism of my council colleagues to put money in the budget to rebuild the cabins, to restore the house to its original grandeur. One of the three cabins has been restored to its original state. The house has been rebuilt, the chimney rebuilt, all done absolutely consistent with the 20s architecture, including the house having been furnished in 20 period pieces. I invite each of you to go along with me for a tour to Bull Run, which is a wonderful treat itself, but given the passion you have for historical preservation, I think you'll be greatly relieved to look at the work that reflects my belief system and know that on this building, I intend to do the same kind of thing, only with a higher degree of awareness that it's in Portland's front porch.
Bless you.
And everybody will agree. And I will promise you this, that you'll be proud of the result when we're done.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You bet.
Thanks, gentlemen. Who else signed up?
Jeff Curtis.
Oh, Jeff Curtis. Mr. Curtis, welcome to City Council.
Good morning. Now close to good afternoon. Mayor Adams, commissioners, I just want to, on behalf of the Rose Festival Foundation, the individuals that have come before me, it's really humbling and it's an honor to see what I see when I visit with you and what I see today is the spirit of cooperation and partnership and recognizing the vital role that my organization plays and has played for 102 years. The work that we're doing today will pay off in the future for future Portlanders. This festival will live on and will live on for another 100 years. But it takes some care like a building, and it takes some passion, and it takes some efforts by all. And what I'm seeing through this project and other conversations about building the future festival It's really humbling and it's an honor, and I want to thank you on behalf of the Portland Rose Festival Foundation for that. To us, and again, thank you for to occupy as a tenant of this magnificent building is truly a treasure for us. But it's much more than a building. We've talked about the infrastructure itself, what it looks like. I just want to touch briefly on the people. The people that will occupy this building are people that care very much about this community, and they do that through the production of our civic festival. They're talented people. They're volunteers that will come in this building. And so this building not only will have a physical property itself, visually important, but it's the people inside of it, the Rose Festival, that will be working on behalf of this community and building a legacy. And future festivals will be born and created out of this building. And I think that's a legacy piece that has not been touched on that should be reflected in our comments and certainly by my organization. It's the people that will occupy the building that will be also make a profound impact in the success of this project. It's an honor. I look back at history, and we partner with the festival through good times and bad. And while these are tough economic times for all of us, and they're tough for the Rose Festival, that spirit of partnership with the city has been there and been there before. And the Rose Festival has also delivered back. And certain examples of that where the city made some investments in the festival, and the festival has made some investments back. I'll give you a couple examples of that. We put in over $2 million at Portland International Raceway to make that a facility that would attract a world-class auto series. Now, that series is no longer there, but for 25 years, it was a major part of the Portland sports program, and the festival made that happen. Today at Waterfront Park, that park can have a better work for special events a lot better due to the festival's $100,000 in improvements we put upon it to put sand on that park so it could weather some of the wear and tear. So the message is the festival in strong times will be there for the city, and I appreciate that the city is there for the festival in tough times. And I just want to thank you on behalf of my organization.
Thank you.
Just a couple questions, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Has a lease been negotiated with the Rose Festival?
No.
My understanding, it's what I've read in the press, is it the dollar a year? Is that your understanding?
That's correct.
With some conditions.
Correct.
Tenant improvements contemplated?
The Rose Festival absolutely is right now discussing that with Commissioner Leonard's office as our liaison. But our intent is to certainly, we have to sell our building first. In other words, we have a building, and we are plan to use some of those funds from that building to reinvest in the building. That's one piece, as well as to build our reserves. But specific tenant improvements, as well as what that would look like, have yet to be discussed. And I look forward to some specific lease conversations about tenant improvements moving forward, but those have not begun yet.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff, for the excellent management that you're providing to the Rose Festival during these tough times. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the room that did not sign up that would like to testify on Council Item 196? Is there additional questions of staff?
Yes.
Could staff please come forward? Commissioner Salzer.
So I guess in a lot of the discussions that occurred yesterday, there's some questions as to the historic designation of the Yon Building. Is it considered a historical landmark or contributing resource?
That's what we're looking at now. It's both sides of the fence. I mean, I've heard the short answer is maybe, but yes.
Ty, come up. Ty's been looking at it.
The answer is it's a historic landmark.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay. So then any changes would be subject to the Historic Landmarks Commission's review and approval?
Yeah, we'll be engaging the Bureau of Development Services interim design review manager, Tim Heron, who I spoke with over the last couple of days, to sort of map out what are all the things that will be pushed through that process, from the color of the building to any material changes that occur.
Okay. And then I guess the other, you know, the big question to me is what is water ratepayer dollars going for? In this, I mean, is there a budget proposal in the current Water Bureau budget for this project? If so, how much, or will there be?
Well, for exterior wise, we're looking at the design piece of it, and we've looked at bringing on Carol, what's her last name?
Mayor.
Mayor. And as a result, our crews on the outside will take care of any of the exterior things that need to occur between painters and our folks that do the landscape work.
Interior.
Interior, that's the part where that's where both the Rose Festival and the Commissioner's Office were talking about how can we lay that out and make it work for all of us.
So I guess the larger question, and I mean, the city charter is very clear that water ratepayer dollars should only be going for water-related improvements. So what's the nexus between any exterior improvements, interior design improvements being paid for by water ratepayers, I guess?
Well, we have this is not unprecedented. The East Portland Coalition for $1 a year rents a building out at Hazelwood for their offices that the Water Bureau took existing staff that, without hiring any extra staff, repainted the building and fixed up the inside. This is property connects to the fountain at Waterfront Park that the Water Bureau maintains. Our intention is
Salmon Street Springs.
Mm-hmm. And our intention is to the extent possible, take advantage of downtimes in work as the crews don't have as much to do. I've talked to the fire chief, for an example, and some of his painters and carpenters have times that they're very busy. They have other times they're not quite as busy. So I'm hoping to take advantage of slowdowns in time to accomplish a lot of this work.
Including tenant improvements?
The tenant improvements is the subject of negotiations between Jeff and the Water Bureau. We've talked to them about us doing the improvements and then repaying them over a period of years as part of the lease agreement.
Lease agreement is the theory there. The other piece of the lease
come back to council?
No.
Yes. The lease will? I don't know about the lease. No. If the lease has to, but what I was going to say is there will be a variety of expenditures which will need council approval throughout the course of this. And your question is appropriate, and we'll be looking for the various solutions all along the way, because the Water Bureau is as conscious of this as you are, as are we. And
I guess, you know, I would like to ask that this at least do come back to the council for review.
I'm happy to share it with you, but I mean, before we sign it, as I have Commissioner Fritz for you to review it for any input you have, but I don't want to treat this any differently than we do any other.
I think the council has prerogative on this matter. If it's a consensus, we could have this. I mean, I know recently on the Gateway Park property appraisal, there was a request that council have a second look at the appraisal. Now, technically, that didn't need to occur under sort of the commissioner in charge system of government. So I guess I'm asking if there's others on the council.
I'm happy to share it with you and have you review it and make suggestions.
Before it's signed.
Before it's signed. I'm happy to bring it to your office and Commissioner Fritz, and happy to go through it with you, and you make observations, suggestions. And I think you would know from our history of working together, I'm very open to any ideas.
Well, I appreciate that, but nevertheless, I would like council to have the say over this because of the questions I'm asking and the concerns I'm expressing, which are shared apparently by the Water Bureau.
Which is why I don't know that we need to go through the necessary steps of bringing it back, because that's something we do. And
well, can I get a point of clarification for the mayor? The matter before us today is the issue of the exchange of properties.
Right.
So the question of a future lease or these other issues are future matters. The germane issue before us today is whether we approve the transfer of the property. Is that correct?
Right.
Correct. The council can choose to impose an additional or seek to impose an additional step if they want. I'm confident that with Commissioner Leonard's commitment to show us a draft lease and be responsive to any comments, I'm comfortable with the normal sort of administrative authority that we delegate to a commissioner in charge and a bureau manager.
I think there's an additional issue with the having a Water Bureau building within a parks property. I can certainly see why you wanted to do the swap with the Mount Tabor property. That makes sense. And so I'm wondering about, for instance, you brought to my attention that the Salmon Street Springs is a Water Bureau facility.
Mm-hmm.
Who paid for that? Do you remember?
The Water Bureau.
The Water Bureau paid for that?
Mm-hmm.
So would the Water Bureau be planning to pay for the water feature within this property?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this is all subject to the negotiations with the prospective tenant.
So one of the reasons that I'm comfortable personally with sort of I'm very comfortable with sort of the underlying efforts being made here to provide greater support to the Portland Rose Festival. And in this case, being done so by avoiding costs and providing more publicity. Part of the reason for doing that is Commissioner Leonard's and Jeff's commitment to update the festival and to look at making it more germane and more successful among more people. So I think it's good to put it out there on the table. This is considered one of the best festivals, annual festivals in the United States. It has been conducted with very little financial support from the city of Portland, despite the fact we reap all kinds of regional and national and international benefits from it. And I support the notion that we provide more support, or in this case, we're providing support in terms of a low-cost lease for this building that was derelict and abandoned, and we're doing it in a way that's going to preserve some important architecture. So I think the questions are good. I think that we have an opportunity by the way that Commissioner Leonard has said he will continue to confer with the council, but I also think it's important that we send a strong message of support for the Rose Festival. So I think these are great questions. I think they need to be answered as we move forward, but I think getting this done today is equally important.
And I would just observe that the current status quo has produced the building in the state that it is. Something has to change. And we have an opportunity to do two things simultaneously: reclaim a historic landmark, as you've heard eloquently described here, and retain what I consider to be nothing less than, you know, the keepers of the flame of the city, and display them proudly in on Portland's front porch. So we have to be creative to figure out how to do that. And this is a path by which we have made in order to accomplish both of those goals.
Well, again, just returning to my point, with all due respect, I do believe that, you know, similar to the discussion we just had on the Emergency Communications Center, you know, in OMF's write-up of this item, they note their concern that as the project proceeds, the Emergency Communications Center, care must be taken that the Water Bureau does not fund a greater portion of the emergency communications than is consistent with what its staff will use. In other words, the nexus between what water ratepayers are paying for and the project. And I think this concern is a legitimate concern for this as well. I fully support getting the Rose Festival in there, restoring this building to what it once was, but I still have concern about the nexus between water ratepayer dollars and what will go into this project. And I would like to see the ability, I would like to have council review that, given the concern. I know we're expecting a rather large water budget this year in terms of rates, and I think these are germane issues.
There's two points there. One is the lease thing, which I would separate from the broader issue of the costs of the big picture costs of the building. Okay. And I'm confident that we have in the makings a solution that will address your concern, but it would be much too early and presumptive to discuss that at this point, but as we move through the process, I am confident we'll be able to address that concern that you are raising.
Okay, so I'm gonna facilitate sort of some decision making on some of these points. Do I hear a motion, Commissioner Saltzman, regarding your concern?
Well, just to follow up quickly with Ty, where else, if it's not the lease, where else would these issues be discussed in a germane manner that the council is
in the varying contracts that will come through for the improvements and such that are going to be necessary to renovate the building and do the tenant improvements and those kinds of things. There should be a number.
Will those be addressed in the lease, too? I mean, the nature of scope of tenant improvements, maybe not necessarily the funding, but maybe the nature and the landmarks and all that.
Well, sort of, there are certain things that the Rose Festival will absolutely need to make that building functional for their purpose. Those things are things that logically should be something that they amortize over the period of a loan. One of the things that goes into that in a building of this nature is the types of materials, which may be more expensive than your run-of-the-mill materials they might use for the tenant improvement. Those, I mean, there's sort of a divergence of who is responsible for which pieces. And this is sort of the city's treasure that we're looking to on Earth. And we will work hard to make sure that the Rose Festival helps with the part that it's responsible for. But there's a much broader universe of items that the city will be responsible for because it has a purpose that's larger than the functional needs of the Rose Festival in this endeavor. And to that end, we will need to demonstrate that it's in compliance with the city's charter, and I'm confident that we'll be able to do that.
And you believe that's true with the lease itself, that you will be able to demonstrate, even though it won't come back to council for review, because if I made a motion, it wouldn't pass. But when Commissioner Leonard sits down with the lease and I ask questions, or Commissioner Fritz or anybody on this council asks questions about the nexus between using water ratepayer dollars as it applies to any provisions in the lease, you'll feel you'll have solid charter-approved answers?
Well, the Water Bureau owns hundreds and hundreds of properties throughout the city, all of which, some of which are I think in active use every day, and some of which are not. And they systematically, I mean, they just have those properties.
Just another Water Bureau property.
Well, wait a second.
I agree.
Wait
a second, because I think we're forgetting our history here, but we can have that debate for a week. What's the fair market value of this property?
I have no idea.
Well, do you have a guess?
No, I have to look to compare.
Is it fair to say it's in
pretty
the,
priceless?
Is it fair to say it's in the millions of dollars?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So under this ordinance, a property valued in the range of millions of dollars is being transferred to the Water Bureau to be the custodian of that property. As I understand it, there will be a negotiation with the Rose Festival to figure out the allocation of costs to make this building habitable for a purpose. And then at some point down the road, it may be the Water Bureau's intention to move its own operations there if it chooses, or to maintain the Rose Festival. But as a consequence of this ordinance, on the balance sheets of the Water Bureau will now be an asset that I assume is worth in the millions of dollars, which will be an asset that they own. Is that a fair comment?
Very fair.
On behalf of someone who does pay his water bill regularly, I would say this is probably the deal of the century for the Water Bureau in terms of asset management.
And unless you're paying
for it? I am tempted to rescind the offer of the exchange for the 1.8 acres, which is worth a fraction of this building. But, you know, I'm comfortable with using the typical protocol of having the commissioner in charge handle the follow-up work. I think the issue, quite frankly, Commissioner Saltzman, with Gateway is completely distinguishable, in part because you presented to the council the appraisal, which the council then had questions about, and the presenters on that appraisal acknowledged that a second appraisal would be in the public interest. So I think that is completely distinguishable. Here, I will speak for myself. I am perfectly comfortable on this record having the commissioner in charge handle those lease discussions. And I think inviting colleagues to comment and review that process in an informal way is gracious. It's unnecessary, but I think it's gracious. And I think the public interest would be protected.
Well, my point on the Gateway appraisal was it's a council prerogative to review what it chooses. And so I think my point is still germane on that. And, you know, quite frankly, I think comparisons of property values is really missing the questions I'm asking here.
Could your questions be satisfied in the budget process for the Water Bureau, having the costs line itemed out?
Yeah. Is there a cost center?
I don't know how the budget process
code
works.
That will be set up for this project?
Yeah.
So we've established as a legislative record that we all are interested in seeing the the full cost allocation for this project, whether it's through the and obviously we're interested in seeing it in a summary form and in, as individual pieces come through. Is that a fair characterization of where you're at? Where we're at? Yep.
I guess it's a fair characterization of where I'll land today. Yes.
Okay.
Given the latest they are, but I do want to flag this concern, which is not only in this discussion, but was also reflected by Office of Management and Finance and the Emergency Communications Center and in other things. It's the nexus between
what the Water Bureau
is spending ratepayer dollars on and the water system.
And as I said, I'm confident we'll be able to address that concern both for yourself and OMF.
Right. And you'll, as always, we involve Bob and Counselor or the legal shop if we need to get that verified. All right. Is there any other discussion? I'm just looking at the somewhat late hour. And any other discussion or questions from this panel from council? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Unless there is additional discussion on council, are we ready to move to a call of the vote? All right. Hearing no need for additional discussion, Carla, can you please call the roll for this council item?
Fritz? I'm comfortable supporting this in part because of the discussion that we just had, and thank you for raising those concerns. I hope that we can get that information through a line item in the budget process as far as the funding and looking at that. And I also appreciate your offer to let me and anyone else look at the lease before it's signed to suggest changes. I'm comfortable supporting it in part because it will be a Type 2 Landmarks Commission review of the colors, the signage, internal, external changes and improvements, and I, having looked at the design guidelines in the historic review section of Title 33 last night, I would suggest that possibly considering a monument type mounting for the rose rather than on the top might get you through the process faster than or in time for this summer. But I was impressed that the guidelines do, I think, address the allow staff and the Landmarks Commission to address the concerns that I had heard over the last week. I do actually have one more question, if I might just break into that, and that is if anybody could speak up if you had any correspondence from the folks in Mount Tabor and the Friends of Mount Tabor Park. I know this was there have been a lot of highly contentious issues, and I haven't heard from anybody that the swap part of it is a problem, so I'm going to support it on the basis of not having heard about that, but... Yes, everybody's nodding. That's good. Because people care about our public property. They care about the rates that we pay. They care about the taxes that they pay, and that we make sure that even though we have a large budget in our city of Portland, that we do use the right buckets of money for the right stuff. And I think that's entirely appropriate. I think this has been a good discussion. And I'm very excited to have the Rose Festival in that historic building. I think it will be a signature place regardless of what the design improvements end up being, and I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Fish.
Well, first I want to begin by just taking Commissioner Fritz's last comment and express some concern. You were at a budget forum last night, and you still had time to review the code on historic preservation. I think that is tantamount to a cry for help, and I think that this should be referred to employee assistance programs, and I assure you, from my own experience, that's a confidential process. No, but I appreciate your thoroughness, as always, Commissioner Fritz. While you were at a budget forum last night, I was being roasted, and I would much rather have been in your shoes.
How'd it go?
I was taking one for the team, for sure.
The usual bias kicked in, so the flacks prevailed. The flacks were voted down, and the hacks won. But I thought the hacks showed a little more class in their humor. Mark Aceto and a few, I sort of went over the line, but. You know, it's like to write a passage, it's over with, and I don't expect to be invited back. So I want to just say a few things. First, to Jeff Curtis. Jeff, I want to say that I am very grateful that you and the leadership has engaged us in how to update the Rose Festival. It's a wonderful tradition, and there's a chance now to breathe some new life into it and to make it even more relevant for the current times. And your leadership and willingness to engage that is to your credit, so I want to thank you for that. To our panel of preservationists, you know, sometimes our program here is a little dry. We appreciate you coming in and sharing the history of John Yon. And I love that style of architecture. But when I used to live in New York, I used to love the Seagram building. I mean, I love, there's a certain style of modernism that is reflected in his work, which I love. And I'm glad to know it is a historic landmark. And thank you for sharing the history with us. It's important. When I lived in New York, I was part of a citizen group that helped save an Ernest Flagg building that was in great disrepair and had suffered a fire and now has been restored as a city treasure. I know how hard that took. It took us 10 years. And I say that because I think that we recognize that